And we actually have an audience. There are 5 people watching at the moment, so I don't know who they are. I can't see any chat, so we'll work as we're going. But hello, everyone. So this is a bonus episode of the Channel 84 Variety Show. You can either be watching this on YouTube, and hello, everyone, that we're even on web camera, or you could be listening to this on the feed along with the normal episodes. But we are joined by a guest today. Ben, say hello.
Hello.
So Ben came to my attention when, funny enough, Cheap Show retweeted your book about a week ago, I think. And I spotted it and thought, you know what? That is so up our street as a podcast because, well, it's you said you had to listen the other day. You now know we do the Channel 84 Variety Show Kids Show Knockout.
Yes, I did have a look at that. I was bemused at some of them. I felt you'd pulled certainly from your ass.
not
just in terms of like, oh God, I'd forgotten about that one. You know, like in that regard. So it's a good spectrum of the stuff.
There is
definitely
it's a good age range on there as well, because there's a few heading into the modern era of CITV, The Broom Cupboard, and a couple on Channel 4, and then there's a lot of the older stuff on there as well, things like classic old Rainbow, Danger Mouse, and the like. So it's nice to see that we managed to get that range on there. But so we have you on because you're releasing a book. It's out on Friday the 1st of December from what you've told us. Tell us about it. Tell us, what is the title of the book, and what made you write this?
The book is in reverse here. So it's Semetrap Asada, where I think I've just invoked Slender Man there. But it's the dreams we had as children, CITV and me. And basically, I was in a hotel in August. You remember when it was warm? That was
a
time. Yeah, it was great. I'd gone to Sheffield for an indie all day thing, and couldn't sleep. You know, you're always a bit weird sort of sleeping when you're in a hotel and that. I was in an Ibis.
It was a very long
Ibis room.
It's just something about hotel pillows. It's like they buy their pillows from somewhere that doesn't know what a pillow is meant to be.
I feel it's like the AI like version. Like they've put in AI, what is a pillow, and it is equidistant to one.
Exactly,
but something's wrong.
Yeah, quite right. And if I work across Europe a lot for work, and I'm out in the Netherlands, and let's put it, British hotels are probably kind of the mid-journey version of image generation. You know, they're pretty good. They're not too bad. Whereas the Netherlands is kind of the Elon Musk version to start with. And it's nothing against the Netherlands, but why are all your pillows square?
Yeah, it takes some getting used to that. I mean,
it's all the hotels I've gone to out there. They're square pillows.
I think your head, I suppose,
But they're filled with air. That's all I can imagine it is. You put your head on it, you hit the bottom of the bed. Anyway, sorry,
I would have issue with that. I would have issue with that.
You were in a long room in an Ibis in Sheffield,
for some reason,
in the heat.
Very long, very long room. And I couldn't sleep, so I put the telly on, and it was Saturday morning, about sort of 7:45-ish. And I'm not one for just putting the telly on just randomly at home, because, you know, let's be honest, if you turn the television on, you're probably going to get a sad sort of advert asking you to donate money to, you know, blind otters of the Hebrides or something, you know. There's not a lot. I've only got Freeview, so it's like there's not a lot drawing me to it. But for some reason in a hotel, I always do. And I was surprised to see that the ITV had kids' programmes on still under the CITV brand. And I watched a Scooby-Doo cartoon, which was okay. I think I watched it because there was like some interesting voices in it. Because it's all very postmodern and referential now, obviously, like, you know, Scooby-Doo stuff. And a thing called The Rubbish World of Dave Spud, which I'd never heard of at all. And I just absolutely fell in love with it over 10 minutes. It is such a brilliant, funny, sort of gritty in a way. It's about a family living in a tower block in Grimsby.
Okay.
But they have a talking starfish called Gareth. Basically, it's like very weird things happen every week in this quite normal scenario, and it's got Johnny Vegas as the title character and stuff.
I'm going to dig that one out. Cool.
Yeah, it's really good. It's on ITVX, so, you know, good luck with that if it's the 1 week it's working. But I just to watch that, and I thought, this is brilliant, actually. I didn't realise CITV were actually still making stuff. I'd heard that they'd made a new version of How, and managed to not catch that because, again, I wasn't really watching kids' TV.
What had become, so what I knew was How 2, yeah, they re-released a new version of it.
Yeah.
And if I'm right, there is no CITV anymore, is there? Or on terrestrial TV as we know it. I think it's online, isn't it?
I thought, well, I'm going to evangelise because clearly CITV are making stuff. And then I looked and it was literally like it ended the week after. quite bizarrely, that Saturday morning I'd watched, the week after, they'd taken that slot away as well. And it was that awful twee thing that Alan Titchmarsh does with on a Sunday at lunchtime was repeated. And it's like, great, because there's not enough cookery and programmes, you know, gardening on a weekend, is there?
So I take this then that you are now Ben Harbinger of Doom to CITV. You tuned into it, it died the next week.
Yeah, that's fair. I have been watching a lot of Nigel Farage videos just to see if I have got that impact. But fingers sadly, crossed. He just keeps eating kangaroo balls. So,
well, the man is a giant penis, so he's got to get a lot more in him.
Well, he is a giant anyway. Yeah, so basically I'm like, oh, that's a shame. And basically it was CITV had died, and I wanted to write a little article about it because I was going to do a book of just mixed articles really about all sorts. I'd written something like radio and something about the early days of Big Brother and stuff. I thought, oh, I'll do like a little anthology book, and then the CITV article I was writing just kept getting longer and longer, and it started with, oh, I'm going to pick a show per year that I'm going to say was the best one of the year. And then it sort of just started to grow and grow. And I thought, there might be a book in this, actually. And I basically spent the last, 3 months going... I was going to say going insane, but, you know, it's like... It's very much just feeding the already existing insane, I think, when it comes to stuff like this.
And certainly, that's an impressive nostalgia. Speed. That's an impressive speed for writing a book anyway. Both myself and Rob are both trying to write a book. Mine's taken 8 years because I'm the king of ignoring it and forgetting about it and then coming back to it and maybe writing a couple of paragraphs and then going, I'll get back to it later. And you've just started your one, so...
I'm 7 or 8 months started.
So to get yours done in that speed is incredible.
Well, it's not just that. It's literally been every waking moment. Basically watching things, making notes, writing notes, writing up into full articles, you know, rewriting and stuff. So it's possibly been a bit more than 3 months, but it's been four tops. Not the four tops, they were not involved. Hey, they might be good. They're good lads. But
they'll do the audiobook version.
Oh, I wish they were. I am actually recording an audiobook version of it. And it's recording an audiobook is hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. I've listened to kind of like a few clips of the people that have done audiobooks, and they're like, it's painful. Everything about this is pain.
Yeah. I've just started leaving the stumbles in because I feel people will probably enjoy them as much as we're saying it right.
Book, he did himself. Oh, and God. He's kind of a bit like that. You can always hear him laughing at his own jokes.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, that's fair enough. Because, if you don't, who will?
Yeah, that's it.
So this is normally not a question that you're meant to ask people. But Ben, can I just ask, how old are you, first of all?
I'm 42.
You're 42 years old. So you're 3 years older than I am. You're a little bit older than Rob again. But that means really you are a similar generation of TV to us.
I would say that there's, because of how much sort of things were shown and shown and shown again, I think with a 3-4 year wiggle room, even up to 5-6, you're generally still in the same sort of wheelhouse, obviously pre-streaming and everything like that. It's this book in particular is... Obviously, Children's ITV starts in January 1983, and sort of it is apparently still on the ITV2 early morning blocks. Let's just get that out of the way. It's not dead. It is being used as a brand, but it's not alive, if you know what I mean.
It's on oxygen.
And I feel there's a lot from that first decade in there, definitely. A little bit more from the 90s. I know there's going to be people who are up in arms with me because it doesn't have Wizardora in it or Tots TV, which I'm afraid.
I think we've discussed both of those, actually, haven't we? We've definitely done Wizardora, in which we had one person tell us she was gorgeous.
True. Wendy Vander Graph Generator or something like that. I remember. And I sort of knew what these things were, but I wasn't really watching preschool TV at that point because I was in sort of regular school and that. So there are definitely, this will appeal more to people who were watching, who were our sort of age, definitely. Yeah. But there are, so I said, Dave Spud is in there, and there's a few things from the 2000s in there, which I feel it's about, I would say this book, I picked top 40, basically, on my 40 favourite programmes from the whole run of children's ITV. And I would say it's about 70% what you'd expect, you know, the big hitters, that sort of thing, which I won't mention any of in case that's coming up. And 30%, forgotten that, never heard of that. And you might like it, you might want to check it out on YouTube.
And I guess that's one of the things we'll come to in a minute, actually, because there's a few shows I want to kind of just run past you and just see what your thoughts were on them. But you're saying about people forgetting about shows. We had one last episode, interestingly, which was Captain Endgame Master. Rob hadn't heard of it until I showed him the intro, and then all of a sudden the memories flooded back. And then it was very much the same when I brought up Round the Bend. So many people on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it nowadays, Hell on Earth. It was like the floodgates had opened, exactly. And so many people suddenly come forward and go, oh, I absolutely remember that.
I think part of it is that people conflate it with Round the Twist.
Yes.
Which was on at a similar time and obviously much bigger because it got a lot more series and a lot more repeats and stuff. So there is that. I don't necessarily, if I want to spoil what positions things are in the book, but Round the Bend is very high.
It was, I think we described it, and I think most people describe it now as, it was Viz for kids.
Well, I mean, it came from the ashes of Oink comic, which was also called like a junior Viz, although I think that's doing it a disservice. Do you know what Oink was? Did you used to read that at all?
I know the name, but I never got hold of a copy. I've never seen it, I've come across the name in reading.
Yeah, it's a comic which only lasted about, I think, 68 issues. It's about 2.5 years, I think, it ran. It wasn't a big thing, but it was very... When people use the word anarchic, they generally don't mean anarchic, but Oink was anarchic. You know, Oink had, like, running gags and stuff and messed about with the format brilliantly. And it was written by these, predominantly by these three guys, Tony Husband, who we recently lost, Patrick Gallagher and Mark Rogers. And they did the Oink. And when that came to an end, Yorkshire TV and Hattrick Productions said, do you fancy doing it for TV? But obviously they couldn't use any of the things that belong to Fleetway or IPC, so Round the Bend became, you know, the format instead.
Yeah, as I say, it always came across me as that children's version of Viz, or as you say, Oink then, and the puppeteering and the look of the puppets, I guess, were more spitting image, weren't they? They were just that classic kind of latex models that they'd used for the puppets, and it was brilliant fun going back and watching the skits now that they had. They're still good. There was an innocence and a rudeness about them.
Well, this is it. So, it was a co-production with Spitting Image Productions. They made all the
puppets and Spitting Image
stuff,
were involved?
Yes, it was. I've always had this theory that Spitting Image puppets are absolutely terrifying when they don't move. So, you know, a puppet, there's something about puppets. So, like, I think this picture, which has got, this is Doc Croc.
Yeah.
Who's the editor. And I think he's looking away, because if he was looking at you, It's just a bit creepy, isn't it?
It was the potatoes were the news, weren't they?
Yes, yeah, John Potatoes news round.
That was it. Yeah,
is a reference long gone to history.
So I'm just looking at the questions we've got here. I'm just going to hand one over to Rob now. Do you want to go with that one?
Yeah. So why CITV over the other shows that were on?
So yeah, CBBC, for example, the Broom Cupboard, which we would have grown up with before it kind of branded itself as such.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with children's ITV is that it's 40 years, and certainly, you know, there is a lot in there. But really, we're looking at sort of 83 to when it leaves terrestrial in 2006. That's a much shorter story, actually. And there's a lot more that you can sort of focus in on. I think there's just simply too much with children's BBC. There's been so many strands and things, and it would be impossible to kind of compile a definitive list, because it would literally, it's still going, obviously, it's still a thing, and in more of a way certainly than children's ITV were in its sort of, you know, coughing up blood days. So yeah, I feel there's more to get hold of, you know, there's more that you can properly really have fun with.
Oh, hang on a moment. That's my fault. I'm just trying to get to the chat while we're chatting. So excuse me looking on the mobile, but annoyingly, it's saying we've got messages, but we haven't. So I'm gonna leave the studio and just come back to normal, I think, and we'll come to the questions in a moment or the chat. I think it's saying there's 7 chat messages at the most. We'll come to those in a minute.
I imagine most of them are saying, Ben, why are you so great? And the answer is vitamins. Just eat my vitamins every day. And lying.
Yeah, lying. Absolutely. So we had CITV, and you've got CBBC. Were there any favourite shows from your era of CITV that you would go back and watch now if you get the chance to? I mean, I'll give you one from mine that I've gone back and watched as much as is possible via good old ITVX when it's working, and YouTube seems to have a fair few of them now, and that's Children's Ward.
Now, this is this is going to be another controversy, because I couldn't get on with Children's Ward at all as a kid. I just found it too depressing when I was younger. I do appreciate it, and I know there are so many great writers that have come from it, Kay Mellor, and Paul Abbott obviously were behind the creation of it. It's something I can see is an amazing thing, but I've no interest in.
So I understand that fully. I mean, having watched the very early ones, which are the ones I missed, dear God, they're depressing. So you've got Tim Vincent of Blue Peter, The Clothes Show, and Anything Else playing a alcoholic teenager. You have the teenager who's got, it's hepatitis from a dirty tattoo. Then you've got a coma patient. It's not the most happy of shows.
Well, that's the thing. Certainly, that is something which Children's ITV lost in its sort of transition, because it used to do gritty very, very well. It used to do really hard-hitting, sort of socially interesting dramas, usually on Mondays about 4:45. That's where Press Gang was on some of the time anyway, and Dramarama, which of course are a series of one-off plays, which, you know, they varied in tone, but obviously they were quite heavy. And Streetwise, which was about a bike courier firm, which is mostly famous now for being Andy Serkis's sort of first big break, really.
Oh, crap. And, was, wasn't it? You're right.
Yeah, these kind of Dodger, Bonzo, and the rest, which is about it's basically like Tracy Beaker before Tracy Beaker, about a children's home and stuff like that. And it's just really gritty stuff. And there's not as much of that in this book, because I feel they've been really well written about elsewhere. Is part of it, and I wanted to sort of tackle some of the shows which didn't get as much love, Round the Bend.
Absolutely, and actually, it's interesting that you say that about the grittiness, and that people don't often think about CITV with it. I mean, I brought up Children's Ward. You've brought up the shows that you have. The BBC were always considered the leaders, weren't they? They had Grange Hill, they had Biker Grove, and people immediately assumed that those were the lead. But you're right, CITV did have a lot. It just seemed to be, though, they got towards the 90s and then they stopped. They decided to go a different route of shows.
Yeah, that's basically something which comes up a lot during my research of this book, is that basically around sort of 93, 94, they'd make a conscious decision to drop the age range. So it was 9 to 15 with sort of a preschool bit before, and then they'd sort of drop that to like 5 to 13 sort of thing. So a lot of the gritty stuff disappeared as a result, as did stuff like Nightmare, which was
a legendary show.
Absolutely. And indeed, I there are a few shows in this book that I worried about writing up because I knew that so much had been said about them, but also I couldn't not include them. Nightmare and Press Gang were the two sort of leading ones in that respect, because they are still beloved, and correctly so. They are absolutely fantastic programmes, but you know, you don't want to repeat too much of what's been said. But the problem, again, is that I think, as you say, like, the BBC had Grange Hill and they had Biker Grove and they were very celebrated, whereas the CITV stuff wasn't, or at least not in the same way. And I think also it's like, in the 90s, there was this sort of turnaround to people like watching stuff like Children's Ward. Definitely got the sort of props it deserved. People were sort of turning around going, actually, this is much better than adult telly. But it took a while for people to sort of come around to, sort of as adults, to readdress that. And it's a shame, really, because it's not about them.
They deserve better. No, they deserve better. It's interesting. Rob, I don't know how you were, but and I think we've chatted about this before, but it used to be very dependent on what the day was. So I'd come home from school, whether it was a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or Friday, I would have my set times. I would swap channels and it would be channel hopping between CBBC and the Broom Cupboard and CITV. It'd be like, okay, well, I know Zap's on and there's nothing else over on the BBC at the moment, so I'll go and watch Zap. But, Maid Marian and Her Merry Men are on now, so I'm going to head over to the BBC because there's nothing on CITV. I don't think there was ever a conflict of, I don't know which to choose at this point.
Yeah, I just followed the show, really, as well. Mm. You know, I wouldn't care if it was like, I wouldn't go straight to 3 and just be left on 3.
Right.
So that's what...
I would be following the show.
That's what's always baffled me, because there's this generation of people who supposedly weren't allowed to watch ITV because it was common.
Yes, that sort of thing. I've heard that, like, one before.
Or they were just a BBC household or whatever, you know, that sort of thing. And I'm just like, no, it's just like, sure, be sure, flit around, you know. Yeah. I am a butterfly. You know, this is what it should be. Like, it feels like children's television was so creative at a time where there was actual competition, basically, and they sort of had to really put in. And it's like, you know, CBBC is kind of default winning in that respect.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously you've got more competition these days. But
and I guess going away from the book a little bit, because we're talking about the Broom Cupboard now, but that's, I know CITV for a period had hosts on the screen, but I guess Broom Cupboard had that from day zero, didn't they? They had it, and even to the point now, they have the studio, they have some sort of glove puppet character, whether it's nowhere near the quality of the Dark, or it is Hackety Dog, who is actually, to be fair, probably the best character they ever came up with. I mean, I loved Ed, I loved Bobby the Banana, Otis not so much, but, or the Gremlin, I can't even remember what the name
is. Emlyn the Gremlin, yes.
Emlyn the Gremlin, there you go.
We've all chosen to forget Emlyn the Gremlin.
Precisely. But I guess that was also part of the thing. You kind of felt involved. You felt like Saturday morning TV, didn't you? You felt like you were with the studio as you were going to the show.
Yeah, so basically, sort of before 1983, you had programmes that were on. and you had a continuity announcer saying this is what's coming up. And in 1981, ITV decided basically to try and bring it together under a brand, and it was called Watch It, but still let each region, because of course ITV was very much broken up into its regions back then, Granada and Yorkshire and LWT and Thames and, you know, all those sort of things. And they all presented it differently. So they went back to the drawing board and came up with children's ITV. And what they were doing is they'd get hosts in, like Matthew Kelly's the first host. And basically they'd get them to pre-record a month of links in like a day or two that they'd play out over the month. So they were ahead of the BBC with getting hosts on by 2 years and change. But of course, when the broom cupboard starts, it's live with Phil Schofield, whatever happened to him. And instantly, you compare it to what Children's ITV doing, which is pre-recorded. And
yeah,
I mean, there's some weird choices of presenter, you know, like, and you stuck with them, like Super Gran presented for a month. Do you remember Super Gran?
Yeah, I remember Super Gran indeed. While you talk, Ben, I'm going to let you and Rob talk while I'm having a look at the chat, because the number is going up, so it does suggest there may actually be questions. So give me a moment.
You've got good eyes to be able to see that.
If any of them say the C word, I'm not prepared to hear them. Which is, of course, the C word is Children's BBC. But yeah, it is interesting how sort of like, someone said, how would you describe it to Americans?
Yeah.
Because Americans they don't really have hosted programs the same way. They just had Saturday morning TV and sort of, you know, whatever was in your region, there'd be Transformers or
and
whatever,
they've got
you
a
know.
Million channels.
Yeah.
Too. Millions of channels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So at
Which
least with us, you know, with our
baffling
four.
To us. Yeah.
Well, yeah, our four, we're just like, well, we've not got much to choose from anyway. So this is what you're watching.
Yeah.
That's very true. So just very quickly for the chat then, Paul Twist Paul Twist is the name that I can see here. Watched
a
lot of Wizardora.
I know who Paul is. That's what the joke was.
Oh, do you?
Sorry. I'll know all these people, I'm quite sure. They'll be out to get me.
Okay, so Paul Twist.
Are any of them
then,
doxing me?
No, not yet. So he watched it as a student, apparently. We've got Jodie, who remembered round the bend, but she has got a question, which is most underrated or overrated CITV show. And then we're also being asked to turn our microphones up. So hopefully I've just turned up a little crack. Hopefully to the user that's called Mister, that may have made a difference. And we all remember Gordon the Gopher.
We remember Gordon the Gopher.
He's just gone through a bit of trauma recently, and we'll come back to
I think he's detached
point.
Permanently from that. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
But yeah, there you go. So the most underrated then or overrated CITV shows.
You see, it's Geordie Wood, who is a he.
Oh, is it? Apologies.
It is, but no, that's his parents' fault. It might be a different one. So what was the question again? Most over and
underrated. Underrated or overrated, yeah.
See, I would say very much, I keep coming back to Round the Bend, I would say it's beloved by those who know it, but it's not in the zeitgeist, it's not in the collective conscious. Although I'd say the rubbish world of Dave Spud, actually, because I say it's a current thing, it is on ITVX, it is supposedly continuing as just an ITVX thing, which seems a strange thing. And I genuinely feel it's got that vibe of early Simpsons, like the family stuff. There's wacky things happen as well, but it's ultimately about a family who all get on each other's nerves, but you know, love each other when it comes down to it and all that. And I would say that's very underrated simply because, had you heard of it?
No, absolutely. And to be honest,
exactly.
Imagining Johnny Vegas doing a children's show to start with, I mean, the most child-friendly thing I can think of for him is Monkey.
Mm. Well, I mean, Jane Horrocks is in it as his gran. His mum's played by Philip Glenister.
I have no idea who that is.
I bet you if you see standard. A picture, you'll realise who it is.
Right.
Gene Hunt wonderful. From Life on Mars and Ashes to Ashes. Did you watch
Still
those programmes?
I know them, but I never watched them.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Arthur
Smith was his dad. Who the
As
comedian Arthur Smith. Yeah, exactly. That's
I've got one question for you, and then we're getting towards the 30-minute mark. So what I'm going to do is get Rob to do what Rob does best, and that is he puts together quizzes at the most short notice, and apparently he has a quiz for us, Ben, to take part in. So my one question for you, though, is can you remember the 1994 controversial show that was shown on CITV, or what that show might have been, and why did it end up in the newspapers, and why was there so much upset?
So
it's 1994. It would have been the third iteration, I think, of the show. It was the second host of the show, but probably the third time it had appeared on TV under a new guise this time.
It's all a little bit vague, unfortunately, for me.
It is.
See, the thing is, by 94, I am in capital B, capital S, big school. So I didn't often see everything, but I suspect I'll know when you give me some more.
Yeah. So Paul Twister suggested Rainbow. No, right. For 1994, there were three glove puppets involved. Well, four, actually, if you include one of their cousins.
Oh, it's Sue's birth in Sutty
and Co. It's Sue's babies.
Was that 94?
There we go.
Yes.
That was 1994, and the episode was Sue's Babies.
Yeah, so they did an episode where basically, like little girls put a pillow up your shirt and say, oh, I'm pregnant, I'm being a mummy. Sue decided to do that, and there was this outrage saying, who is the father? Is it just, there's no... They don't even have legs, never mind the rest.
There was a run-up to the show where it was probably the sun. Let's face it, the sun always starts this sort of shit show. And yeah, there was Who's the Father, disgusting episode of Sooty to air soon. Sue the Panda is pregnant. Who's the Father? But my favourite thing about it was not only did the episode air and... obviously, it's a joke episode. She's not really pregnant. She manages to fit in the line. It feels like I've got the whole Manchester United front 11 inside.
Seriously?
Yep.
Well, see, that's the thing. Sutty and Co. was the new iteration in the 90s. Yeah, as you said.
It was. They opened the shop.
They moved from Thames to Granada, which is why there was suddenly in Manchester and there were loads of Manchester references in it.
Yes.
And Sutty and Co. is in the book, and it fascinates me how many really interesting guests they pulled, certainly later on in series.
Loads.
Jack D goes in saying he can't laugh. So that, and my favourite is Harry Hill, who goes in and he has Stufa. And Matthew's going, but that's a puppet. And just you think of the meta consequences of Sutty, and it's fascinating viewing.
I have got a very big soft spot for Sooty in my heart. I've started showing the modern Sooty to my little boy who's two, and amazingly, they haven't ruined it. The current person who's in charge of Sooty,
Richard Cadell,
isn't wonderful. Yeah, he isn't wonderful. But he's not terrible. He's no worse than previous.
I think that's,
and
again, a perspective thing.
It's weird with
thing,
the guests still.
It's a perspective thing, though. If you're coming from it from having Matthew Corbett, as we did, you know, he's no Matthew Corbett. But there is
absolutely
a generation. I mean, he took over in 1999.
Yeah, he's been going for years with it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, he agreed to sell with Matthew Corbett, didn't he? And Matthew...
Well, no, it went all around the houses. So the Sooty brand was bought out by some like Japanese conglomerate, they got bought out, and basically they ended up under Britt Allcroft, who was the creator, one of the people behind Thomas the Tank Engine and Friends,
and Tugs.
They bought a load of stuff, and then they got bought out, and it was like then it got sold to Hit Entertainment, who made Bob the Builder and stuff like that, and they couldn't really make Sooty work, which is why it kind of like filtered away, you know, in sort of the 2000s, 2010s, and then Richard Cadell bought it back off them.
As I hadn't realised, he'd appeared at the age of something like 15, I think they said, he'd appeared in Sooty and in the Sooty show, before it was Sooty and Co, doing a magic trick.
That sounds right, yeah, that would be.
So it's funny how it went full circle even then.
Interesting point is Sooty, and is actually puppeteered now by predominantly by Phil Fletcher, who is Hacker T Dog's manager. And he's in a duo with my friend John called the Pound Shop Boys, which is very good. Okay. But Phil like adores puppetry. He loves it. He understands the art of it. So, and Sooty is like, I think just short of Emu, is his favourite. So there's still a lot of love and attention going into those new shows, I think, which is why you sort of have it not being as
those
bad as, you know, it's not
feeling,
been completely
yeah.
ruined. You know, he's not smoking a fag and you know, riding an e-scooter around.
I don't even think it's that. It's the fact that they've moved the location. They've gone from the house, they've gone to the shop. They're now living in a static caravan on the holiday park. But even then, the bedroom's similar. It's still all sooty-sized. They've all got all the various rooms compressed down as well. So they've got their individual bathroom with the taps and a real bath. And there's that little
design.
Bit of magic to it. Exactly. Yeah. And it's still there now, which they could have quite easily done away with to be on the cheap and do it quick and easy.
Yeah, no, it needs that level of sort of, you need to be in Sooty's world. You know, you are a guest in, and they are, you know, this is a thing. Do you know why it's set in a holiday park now?
No.
Because Richard Cadell's brother owned that holiday park. Because I think they bought them and they would do the Sooty show like as a stage show sort of thing. Because I don't know, obviously, if you're Nippers too, you won't have done the whole Butlins thing.
The
stage shows are now big business, you know, with you sort of like Stephen Mulhern goes and does the all those show. And
ITV are fairly well ingrained with it as well. So a lot of the ITV shows like The Masked Singer, those sort of shows end up at Butlins now with the red coats taking part. Are they even red coats anymore?
Last time I was in Butlins was 1995, and I was too young to go in the pubs. I was too old to do any of the kids' activities, so I just hung around basically, so try to get people to buy us beer.
Brilliant.
Right. I'm no master.
We are rapidly heading towards kind of the 40-minute mark. So, Rob, I'm going to hand over to you and take us through what you've done
for
us.
I've been uncharacteristically silent for the last 40 minutes.
I am what they know as a gobshite, so...
No, it's not you. It's me being quiet. Right. So, I love quizzes.
Me too.
I'm now going to adopt my quiz persona, which is slightly ruder than my usual persona, so I apologise. And we don't have a soundboard, so I've got two phones.
Technology at its finest.
So embrace the jank and join us.
Just make sure you put them right up to the microphone. I know it's probably going to sound terrible, but we can deal with that. If we can't hear it, we can't deal with that.
Join us for the newest quiz in Channel 84.
Those immortal television shows. Tits.
What?
And here's your host with the most, it's Rob.
Hey, applause. Thank you.
How the hell did you come up with tits so quick?
I was there thinking of, so what it was, I was just in the kitchen, literally one of the reasons I was late getting here, was right, I want it to be a rude word or a swear word as the anagram. What can I make that's game show related? And I was asking the AIs, and they're like, we can't do that, that's a swear word. We can't do that, that's a swear word. And then getting them to actually give you anything even remotely normal is impossible. And then I asked it, I want it to be like old game shows. Like, give me another word that means old that starts with I. And it listed like 10 words. None of them started with I.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Yes. Yeah, I found that with AI. It's so fun. My favourite thing we did with AI was I managed to convince it to I told it that Paul Daniels was buried in his Wisbit costume. Sorry, Debbie. If you're watching, Debbie, I'm very sorry.
So, if you, let's move on. Let's get on with it.
It's the image.
That's it. The game show is called Those Immortal Television Shows.
Okay.
And what it is, I'm going to basically play 10 intros to CITV shows.
Okay.
They're kind of all 90s because I needed to actually know what they were myself to be able to guarantee that I, you know. And I also thought when I saw the years in the PDF you sent us, I thought, I actually think I want to definitely make sure TJ is going to have a chance because you two are against each other.
Rigged anyone?
Yeah. So I also realised some of these songs say the title of their show immediately in the song. So some of them I will skip slightly ahead.
Right, okay.
So.
Fun quiz, it's a risk.
Exactly. So there's going to be one at a time. We're going to play one. The first person to answer gets the point. Bonus right. point if you guess the year it was released.
Ooh, okay.
Now either of you
not watching his screen at all.
So the other person can steal a point.
Oh,
if you can't guess.
Okay.
If, you know, whoever gets the show, yeah, no reading extra text. Whoever gets the show gets the first guess at the year. They fail. We can get a point steal. There's 2 points up for grabs. Each one. Shall we get into it?
Yeah, go on. Okay, let's go.
Can we hear the theme again first?
Absolutely. That's really nice of you to ask. He never asks for that. Never asks me to play the intros again. Right. Let's get this right back.
Those immortal television shows. Tits. And here's your host with the most. It's Rob.
Hey. Woo.
Still brilliant. Still works.
Thank you. Hang on. Hang on. I do have a soundboard here.
Oh.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And on today's episode of Those Immortal Television Shows, we have two contestants, one local and one on the phone. Man on the phone, tell us your name and where'd you come from?
Hello, I'm Ben. I'm from Keighley in West Yorkshire and I live in my house.
Hey, looks like we've got some house fans in the audience today, everybody. Oh, thank no. you. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm just looking for love. I'm hoping this is... I decided to write a book about CITV to hopefully find my soulmate.
Yeah, Cilla
surprise,
Black is not
surprise.
Here, I'm afraid, yeah.
I said soulmate, not the devil.
And we have a man here locally. What's your name? Where'd you come from?
Oh, my name's Tom. I come from St Albans. And I, too, am in a house.
Oh, looks like we've got some Luton fans in the audience, eh?
Not as popular as it used to be, houses.
Right, and tell us a little bit about yourself, please, Tom.
Well,
okay, brilliant. Thank you very much. And on to the first question.
Nice.
Right, nice. Right. I'm going to try and hide my phone from Tom because he'll be able to see. So, bear with me. I have plenty of these.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I know that one. I know that one.
Well, first in.
Oh, well, go for it. I haven't
did
got
I
a clue.
Say him, did I say I don't know. Did
yeah, quickly go in
something?
And say what it is. Yeah, say the name.
That is Zap.
That is Zap. Well done.
Bloody hell, was it?
Point on the board.
Now, while he's putting a point on the board, really made me laugh as well. Having small children, Les, whatever his name was from Zap, is now on the BBC. He's now in Andy's Adventures or whatever it's called on the CBeebies channel.
Right.
Still playing a silent mime type character who goes around causing chaos. Les Bub, that was it.
That was, right.
So, no one have a go at me. All these dates are from CITV Wiki. All right? I just found the website this afternoon. I don't know their credentials. I don't care. If your numbers don't match what's on my document, tough shit. Okay, so what year?
Is this going Zionist or something? Yeah. Is there some far-right conspiracy coming up?
Let's see, yeah. So what year do you reckon for Zap then, Ben?
It was 1993, I believe.
Absolutely right, it was 1993.
I have a feeling I'm going to get trounced.
Of course
point.
It was. I do have a few that might be a little bit harder.
No, it's like Pot Masters. Once
peas.
You've got one on the board,
peas. That's it.
Oh, I love a bit of Pot Master.
Okay, are we ready for question number two?
Go on then, yeah. Let's have number two then.
This one I do have to skip ahead because it instantly says the name, I'm pretty sure. So we're just going to...
Heart attack!
No,
heart attack!
It says it more than once!
Oh, you absolute muppet!
Can you guess? Can you guess
bad
the show?
Influence?
Can you guess the show, DJ?
DJ
gets in first. I did write.
This is an heart attack. This is an heart attack.
This is heart attack.
Yeah, exactly.
This is Tony Heart Attack.
I did not skip anywhere near far enough ahead. Okay,
beautiful.
Ed, some gets the point on that one. So, Tom, clever clocks. What year?
Did you say these were all 90s?
No, not all 90s.
Okay, so I'm going to say 91.
He's wrong.
It's doesn't surprise me.
It's 90, I believe.
It's 1990.
Oh,
that's it.
I wasn't far
sale.
Off.
Doesn't Very matter. Close. If you're not right, you're not right, mate.
You're
this
right
is Art
today.
Attack. Right, okay.
This I've next also one is going to be fun now, isn't it?
You know what? I think I purposely didn't put Funhouse on because I thought I've got a few here I need to skip.
Okay. Oh, God. Oh, that's not going to stop being funny for a long time.
Okay, right. I think I have to do the same for this one, so I'm going to go really far ahead.
Budgie the Little Helicopter?
That's right. I had to stop it right as it said its title.
Written by Sarah Ferguson.
Fergie, yeah.
Well,
who
Fergie,
has been on This Morning recently?
She has?
She has, yeah. She's been a co-presenter on This Morning because everything's broken. Everything's broken on television. So,
Tom, would you like to guess when Budgie the Little Helicopter was released?
I want to say it's earlier than the 90s, but it's going to be 90. I'm 89.
Nope, sorry, mate. Ben for the steal.
94?
94!
Oh, God damn
yes,
it.
Yes, mate.
I was going to say 94. No, it isn't that new. It is older than I think it is. Bollocks!
But again, that is fully when I am at proper... That was like one of the early shows on the block. Yeah. I was never home for it. So I knew what it was because, yeah, it was Fergie's thing.
Thing.
As opposed to Prince Andrew's thing.
Or her
no
children's
things. Here, thank you very much. Can I also say, these are really difficult to actually put into playlists because YouTube doesn't let you put kids' videos
into
playlists.
No, they're very strict. It's very strange because I was trying to make playlists for things to watch, you know, to actually go through them. It's like, no, you can't add that to playlists. It's like, why? What am I going to do? Suddenly turn into a, like, Hamburglar and start stealing children's souls?
Exactly.
Right. No, you're not Noel Edmonds.
Are we ready for the next show?
Thank you.
I don't think I have
Thank
to
you for saying that. No, sometimes it's nice for someone to say you're not Noel Edmonds.
Yeah, sometimes it's just nice to hear, isn't it? Ready?
Go on then. Reboot? No, not. Oh, it's such an 80s action show sort of Challenge Annika sort of soundtrack. But
anyone in the chat can also try and steal a point from these chaps, particularly since they both spoke about this 10 minutes ago.
Oh, we didn't.
Shite.
About 10 minutes ago could be anything.
Nightmare
at this
themes, is it?
Oh, it's Nightmare.
Nope.
No? It's not Funhouse. It's not Finders Keepers.
It's not Art Attack.
It's not Round the Bend. What else have we talked about? This is when he points out, oh, it's a CBBC show.
No, this is all from CITV Wiki. I'm telling you.
Wiki, wiki, wow, wow.
Blame them if it's wrong.
I haven't got a clue.
We're hearing it again.
I'm trying to think of action cartoons from sort of...
Okay, I'll give you a clue. Mm-hmm. It's not a cartoon.
Okay.
Great clue.
Is it children's ward?
It is children's ward. Well done, Ben.
That was half an hour ago, Rob.
But that's not the children's ward theme that I remember.
No, that's when it became the ward.
That's
the 90s. That's the modern one, and then the old. Yeah. Fair play.
This is the only one it let me put in a playlist, so that's why we got that one. So, what year? Now you know.
I think it was 89.
This must be the second run of it then, because it's later than that.
No, it's either 87 or 88.
Because it came from a Dramarama, one-off called Blackbird Singing in the Dead of Night.
Well, I can tell you what year CITV Wiki telling me it is.
They're telling you The Ward, which is the... It wasn't a spin-off. They rebranded it.
Yeah, the word children's... Again, like, taking children's out of children's ITV, it became, like, too infantile.
Right.
So it had to be The Ward.
So what did you say it was, Ben?
I said it was 89.
And it was 89?
It was 89. Okay, well, I'm not changing my rules. Tough. Negative point.
Good sport.
95 was what they wrote. So that must have been when it changed.
Okay, 95 yeah, must yeah, have been be the ward.
Okay, the reboot of it.
Biker Grove got rebooted. You're right. It wasn't rebooted. It was just... rebranded a bit, new intro, new characters, let's go for it again sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready for the next one?
Yep, go for it, let's have the next.
Definitely says the name in it at some point. I'll try to remember when it says it.
Oh, Tots TV? Tots TV?
Rosie and Jim.
Oh, it's Rosie and Jim.
They're so close.
It is bloody the same Sonic. I hate them. I hated Rosie and Jim. I hated Tots TV. I hated Brum.
Oh, Brum wound me up.
Oh, Brum. I don't remember much about Brum except the actual car, which was an amazing prop.
It was an amazing prop, but in real life, it would have been up on bricks with no wheels, and its little soul would have been stabbed out of it many times over. But that's anyway,
fair.
Right.
That is fair.
Yeah, come on, Tom, yeah.
Tots TV, Rosie and Jim.
Yep.
91.
No, shit. Not 91.
87?
No, afraid not. It was 1990.
Oh.
I remember.
According to CITV Wiki.
Okay.
According to the CITV Wiki.
All right.
And I'm going to jump onto good old my favourite thing.
Yeah. You're going to ask Bing and then take you to this.
Rosie and Jim, 1990.
Right, fantastic. Okay, I think you're both going to get this one. And I know it says
especially if the title's in it.
That's what it definitely says it, but I don't remember how far in, so. Hang on. It's not that bit.
How can your eyes be bigger than your stomach?
Okay, how two.
Okay, that's it. Do you want to hear it past that to actually get the song?
How do you put up a tent?
This was such a good show.
Yes, I think that's why they brought it back, because it's just a good format.
It was. It was a brilliant idea. It took what Blue Peter had with doing their demonstrations and the build to the cooking or the craft stuff, and then How To basically said, well, let's just do an entire show where we involve and make kids able to do experiments. Mm. It was a brilliant idea.
It's got that kind of just... The core of it is three people trying to impress the other ones with stuff they've learned or tricks or whatever, you know, sort of thing.
And I love the modern one, Fred's solid format.
Yeah, Fred's still in the... he's in the new one, yeah. He doesn't do the sort of on the studio stuff, but he sets challenges for the new team.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant because he's in this office set, certainly the second series, which is full of old How annuals and sort of Southern Television clapperboards and stuff. You know, it's properly made for a telly geeks.
I love it. love it. I'm going to say 1990.
Well, that's a shame because it was Ben's chance to say.
But no, I answered it first.
Did you?
Yeah.
I thought Ben did. Oh,
I believe you said it at the same time, but I'm not. I'm not a callow person, so...
I am.
Okay, well, you got both points. It was 1990. Well done.
Oh, thank God for that.
Gloves are off now, Ben. Don't be nice to him.
No, look, I'm probably not going to get any other points now. Those 2 points are my thing. I'm holding on to those.
Well, we've got 4 left. There's still time. Are we ready?
Go on then.
Yep, me. Yes. Confirmed. Nightmare.
That's right. Nightmare. Which has got
Nightmare. You see, you can sing the words along with it. Nightmare.
Do you know what other one you can do that to? Superman. It's Superman. Superman. Super.
When do we reckon then, Ben? What year?
That's 1987.
That's right. Well done.
Yeah. I'm not even going to argue.
Okay.
I've been watching a lot of it.
See how well you get on with the next one.
Oh, God.
Of course he knows it.
Oh, I know this. I'm going to hate myself for not knowing it.
It's very weird. This is a whole episode, so we'll end up in the episode at this rate. Anyone in the chat?
You know what?
Any
idea? For time's sake. What the hell was that?
There's chickens.
Something set on a farm.
It's set on a farm.
The people are screaming. Unfortunately, again. Slightly after my time, Ken.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's not
after your time. It's slap bang in your time.
Ooh,
in
okay.
The late '80s.
Late '80s.
In the '80s, yeah. Apparently so.
No.
No.
I'm gonna hold my hands up. I'm gonna say
Dappledown
no.
Farm. That was around then.
It's not Dappledown Farm. That was gonna be another trick. It's Tumbledown Farm.
Tumbledown Farm. Yeah. Mm, okay.
Do you want to guess the year, late '80s? Anyone want to guess the actual
88.
Year? 88, exactly right. Well done.
That was a guess. That was
gets a
guess.
A point. He gets a point. He's got it right.
Oh, God.
Okay, this one also says the name in at some point. I'll try my best to pause it.
Tugs.
Yay, well done. It's Tugs.
I'm guessing. Did you hear it?
Tugs. It's not funny about Tugs. There's no funny about it. What are you saying? What are you laughing at? There's no funny about Tugs.
If you've ever watched, so I keep putting it up on Twitter and I cannot hammer it home enough. The Tom Scar video he did on Thomas the Tank was brilliant. He then traumatized himself doing another video on Tugs this time. And oh my God, the deep dive he does onto it and then realizing the Tugs are alive. They can die.
Wait, they have sex? Oh, he says about the trains die, because I watched that video.
Oh, yeah, no, the Tugs one is even better.
It's the sentience is very...
It's
definitely Britt should Allcroft not be thought about.
What year do you reckon, Tom, for the Tugs?
Oh, Tugs, 89?
89, yeah, well done.
Hey! I brained something.
Okay. It's weird how that wasn't a success, despite the fact it's basically... the same as Thomas the Tank Engine, but so in the 20s?
They then retried it without Britt Allcroft, and they did a new one, which slightly less animation, and it was based in Canadian TV, and it was a huge success. And again, go and watch the Tom Scar video on Tugs, and he goes into it at the end, but there's they tried it again, and it stayed in Canada, and it was a success. It was just far less creepy.
Last, but by no means least.
Right, go on then. Final one.
Yes. That's the trapdoor.
Yeah, that's right. We've got to get to the bit that we all like.
Oh, yeah, go on then.
Deep within this dank and uninviting place lives Burke.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. The thing upstairs.
Burke, feed me.
But that's nothing compared to the horrors that lurk beneath the trap door, for there is always something down there in the dark waiting to come out.
Don't you open that trap door?
You're a fool if you dare.
It's a good one.
Down there. What an absolute banger of a theme tune.
That is a banger, isn't it?
Can you believe that that came out as a single and wasn't a hit?
No, really upsets me. Trapdoor for Christmas 2024.
Written by the same guy who wrote Merry Christmas Everybody for Shaky.
Oh, really?
Bob Heatley, yeah.
Oh.
Would you like to hazard a guess at the year for Trapdoor?
Oh, that's 86.
You're absolutely right. Well done. Right, maths time. One, two.
It's almost like I've spent the last 3 months doing nothing but watching old television programmes and not having a social life and going a bit mad.
Funny that. Did Ben win?
Hold on, I've got to get my... And today's runner-up with 7 points is Tom.
I'm not even sure how I got 7 points.
Well done, Tom. It says drums, let's just see. And our winner this week with 10 points is Ben!
I'm the greatest.
Congratulations, Ben.
That is the only thing I have ever won.
Did you organise a prize?
Yes, of course I did. And I'll just go and get it now. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Janine. Bye-bye.
Okay, well... Okay.
And of course, the prize is a trip to the Art Attack studio.
Talk about Art Attack before I give you your actual prize. Have you seen the incredibly clever YouTube video someone's done of Art Attack where he's talking and he's like, just draw a circle, then draw another circle? And it's basically they've chopped and changed it. They've got someone who's put on a red jumper and they've got the typical top-down video and they're just drawing massive cocks to his speech. And it's just absolutely wonderfully done.
I know there's a Twitter feed because I thought, oh, I should follow some of the people from this book so they might be interested in it. Finding ones that were alive was difficult. Well, there's quite a few Neil Buchanan ones and they're all that, basically. They're all like, look, I did an Art Attack and it's a ballad.
So. Yes. Wonderful. Right, well, Ben, the only prize we can actually offer you, advertise book, go for it. Tell us, where can we buy it? When is it due out? How much is it going to be? And then... where can people find you? How can they talk to you? How can they follow you in the street? How can they send you creepy things in the post? You know, all those good things.
Yeah, yeah. It's I don't know if I want to know. And you can find me on the internet. Ben Baker Books on Twitter. I'm just Ben Baker on Blue Sky. I have various things. I'm a presenter on noiseboxradio.com if you want to listen to me do radio. I did a show last night, in fact, promoting this very book. And just generally look for those because there's a few versions of this. Well, there's a few ways you can get this book. You can get it digitally, obviously. You can get it as a print book from Lulu, or you can get it from me directly, where I will actually scrawl in it with, I'd said, like, as offensive as you want. And some of the requests that have come in already, I am horrified by and vastly looking forward to doing in the books. So, yeah, look for fantastic. Those. There's basically lots of various different strands of ways you can get this. And more importantly, I just hope people like it because, as I believe I've proved over the last hour or so, I've gone mad.
you've definitely proven that you've got the knowledge about it. It's been absolutely fantastic fun chatting to you, Ben. Honestly, it's just really, really good fun. I was expecting this to be half an hour and we would get to that 30-minute point and go, is there anything else we need to talk about? Well, and I've suddenly kind of realised I could carry on talking to you about this stuff a lot longer, but I think
I'll be happy to come back on a different day where I'm not shilling a product.
Well, what we will do, we will organise it for you to come back on the show, do a full episode with us. You can be subjected to Do You Remember, the Channel 84 variety show, kids show knock. I can't even remember the bloody name of our own thing. And we'll even let you throw in a few of your own ideas for what we should do for an episode. But thank you so much for coming. Absolutely. We've got the PDF of the book, which we're very grateful for. We're going to read through that. The bits we've seen already, they've been absolutely fantastic. You should be absolutely really proud of what you've done with it. And I can't wait to see people's responses when they start getting them. Really, hopefully, best of luck with it.
The end of this week, by the time people see this, it'll be practically out. And if it is, I'm very sorry about that. It was a John Barrowman incident. But it'll be 1st of December is basically, it'll be out on all of the platforms.
And finally,
not the hate platforms.
And finally, if you do follow Ben on any social media, what I highly suggest you do now is you go and look up this morning's social media, and we try and get Ben on with Fergie doing a book review on Good Morning.
I'm
going to have to mention the husband, though.
You'll be fitting in Pizza Express in all the time.
How many copies of this book do you think you can buy with 12 million?
I'm still in the era of Good Morning when it had a saxophone intro and they still had the floating map out in the dock behind them.
Yes, but of course the thing with the floating map is the person stood on it was also a sex offender.
Yes, so, didn't he do something too?
Yes.
That's the thing. With childhood memories, step carefully. That's all. Just tread very lightly.
Oh, God, I'm going to die of a heart attack like Tony Hart.
Like an heart attack. Heart attack.
Well, we'll discuss it off air. Again, Ben, thank you so much, mate. It's really
been
appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been brilliant.
We just hope people enjoy this and
can I have the quiz theme again? Just one final time. One final time for the quiz.
I really like you, Ben.
And then that's it. That's our outro. That's our out.
That is our out.
Because I do radio. I know you need a big out. So.
Right. Are you ready, everybody?
Oh, go on then.
Press the wrong button.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Those immortal television shows. Tits.
Oh, fucking hell. Brilliant. Bye-bye, everybody. No, not these doors.